effectively have been saved for 48 and 49 years. Let's give God a hand for that, please. So they've walked the road and they've been married, and they said it, so I'm going to repeat it. They've been married for 58 years. Hey, but wait, this is the best part. That's nothing. They've got 6 children. Let's give them a hand, guys. Like Edna said yesterday, when she heard that and she saw how Tony Delesti just testified at a place, she knew, I want to listen to D. Tony. So we respect you, we honor you. Firstly, the Lord and His work through you. And then we're really expectant for what lies ahead. Johan just gave a prophecy. I won't repeat it, but he just gave a prophecy or a word to Johnny this morning. And we're expecting with you for what lies ahead in the new seasons as well. And we're excited for that. Johnny has been, he can tell you a bit more about himself. I'd rather give the mic to him. But Johnny, you're welcome to come and share with us the word this morning. We're looking forward to that. Lord, have your way. Amen.
Good morning. Yeah, it's wonderful to be with you again. Actually, the Lord just showed me something while we were worshiping. We often visit different members of the Shofar family, different churches, and everyone has got something unique. God showed me this brilliant jewel. And every church reflects another dimension of His love and His grace. And it's so wonderful to be able to fellowship with you guys. And thank you for the band. I thought, man, if I can get some of these, hold of some of these songs, man, to take back home, it'd be wonderful. And thank you for inviting us to come and fellowship with you. Not just to teach you, man, just to fellowship. We were so enriched by the fellowship the past 2 days. And then, of course, thank you for booking us in with the Schoeman's Hotel. And we will really recommend that to all our friends back in Franschhoek. It was so wonderful to be with them. So we're continuing this morning. Maybe it's not such a heavy one as the past 2 days, but I believe that God has got a special word for you this morning. And the topic of my the title of the message is "It's Time to Rebuild the Wall." It's marriage and family. So my first scripture is Nehemiah 2 verse 18. So they said, "Let us arise and build." Then they set their hands to do this good work. Then Malachi 4 verse 5 to 6. "Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." Now here we read the story of a man who was called to rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. Walls that had been torn down and burned by the enemies. This task was an awesome task, almost an impossible one. There were many who opposed this task, many who ridiculed Nehemiah, but then there were those who rallied to rebuild. And as you know, the people were placed along the wall in families, each to rebuild their own section so that the city would once more be safe and protected. And the families faced this constant threat of enemy attack. In fact, when the wall was halfway up, they began holding a weapon in their one hand while working with and building with the other one. Not only were they totally devoted to the work of rebuilding, but they were also fully committed to fighting of the enemy should it become necessary. Healthy families are the small building blocks in building a healthy, strong church and a nation. And my brothers and sisters, today this wall of protection afforded by strong families in each of our towns and cities has been destroyed by enemy attack. The disintegration of marriage and family through past generations have left us very vulnerable. Now each family must fight its own battles without the corporate protection afforded by a strong wall. But now the time has come to rebuild this wall. Just as in the days of Nehemiah, God is appointing and anointing families to rally and restore the safety and security of the homes of our land. Unfortunately, the leaders of our homes, as men, have abdicated our position because we are so busy trying to make ends meet financially. Our homes and our churches have been weakened because men are sitting back and the women are the ones trying to build or rebuild the walls of protection. The church has lost its voice in government and in public. The church should be the one that delivers the annual State of the Nation address, and not the president. We should be the voice that gives hope and direction, but we have become such a feeble voice. And brothers, it is time for us to wake up. And when we use God's plan, His word, as our blueprint and His tools, which are scriptural principles, to build a strong, healthy hedge of protection around our marriages and our homes, our children have a safe place in which to dwell. The Word of God also provides boundaries. And as a standard of that provides boundaries is raised, the boundaries also provides that it provides are also put into place. But many today only want the protection, but they ignore the boundaries. We do our own thing through either ignorance or self-will. We refuse the boundaries of God's word and consequently lose its protection also. Whatever the situation of your marriage and home today, you can be blessed and grow in the Lord through the understanding and application of His blueprint for your marriage and home. Nehemiah 4 verse 14. He encouraged the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Perhaps not since then has that call to battle been more needed than today. The sound of the trumpet can be heard in the land. Nehemiah 4 verse 20. The Lord is saying to us, rebuild. And my brothers and sisters, I am not afraid to raise my kids and my grandchildren in the time that we are living in. For we have the promise that no weapon formed against the home that is built on the rock shall prosper. Fight for your families. Fight for your marriages. Don't give up on it. Fight for your wife. Fight for your husband, your son, your daughter, because Satan is on the rampage. He wants to destroy the church, but he cannot destroy the church without first destroying the family, the home. Plead the blood of Jesus over your children, one after the other. Some people might say, "Ah, that's old-fashioned, old school." But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It works. They may drink from the rivers of rebellion. They may go down the wrong path. But if you intercede for them, there is no hell hole that can hold them. There is nothing more important than what you are doing right now with your children. It is more important than rugby or soccer matches. We don't believe this old stuff anymore. But beware of the dangerous distractions that take your children elsewhere instead of being in the house of God. We are not going to let hell raise our children. We are not going to let Hollywood raise our children or games raise our children. We need to raise our children ourselves. If you will fight for your family, God will fight for you. I promise you that. But you know, there are so many resources available for us to be able to do that. There's marriage prep for the young, young adults, marriage enrichment seminars, parenting courses, and most important, the Word of God. There are so many things that threaten to break down the walls of protection around our families. And it is amazing how our families are being bombarded by attacks from the outside. As an example, take our beloved TV. How our kids are exposed to violence and sex and foul language and blasphemy. I don't want to knock any nation. But you know, if you watch especially the teenage programs on TV, the American programs, how they, oh my God. For nothing, they shout, oh my God. Even the TV evangelists now call it the OMG syndrome. And our kids are also starting to do the same because it sounds so cool. It is not cool. It is blasphemy. Then there's divorce, abortion, corruption, wrong friendships, drugs, alcohol abuse, smoking, new age, evolution. The list just goes on and on and on. And I truly believe most families do and try and guard against all these attacks and try and build a strong wall of protection around their families. But what happens inside the walls are often regarded as normal. Ah, it happens to the best of families. It is not normal, but abnormal according to God's requirements. I'm going to discuss a few issues most of us experience in our marriages and families. Firstly, I want to do the three practical steps in love. How do we love one another in marriage? Colossians 3, verse 18 and 19. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly, and do not be bitter toward them. Remember, men are commanded to love their wives and not vice versa. So if your wife tells you, I love you, that's a bonus. And you will notice this morning that I mainly address men, and this is the reason why. Let's put on the next clip, brother. No, not the scripture. Carry on. You're missing out. It's You see, understanding will, and I can't even, because there are 9 other volumes like that, so I don't even dare to try and explain the woman. Now, the first one is caring. When we get married, we owe each other a debt of love. The Bible says, owe no one anything except to love one another. So the only debt we owe each other is the debt of love. And as I said yesterday, it cannot be paid in monthly or yearly installments, but daily installments. Every day, small little things that you do for her that tells her, I love you. And to love is not only feeling, but it is showing it. And I've learned that if you're in love, it shows. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrated his love, his great love for us, by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. I am not ashamed to show my love towards my wife in public. Sometimes I've embarrassed my kids with that, but I am not ashamed to show my love. I will kiss her in the street, I will hug her whenever I want to, and I feel like it, and I feel all the time like that, but in any case. Now, the love, the kind of love God is interested in is demonstrated love. And if you feel the love for your spouse is growing cold, go and do those first things that made you excited about your relationship. Professor Dobson said this. He says, the best thing a father can do for his children is to show them he loves their mother. No matter what the circumstance, whether it be financial or sickness, persecution, the world falling apart around us, when there is love in the family, a mom and dad who love each other, it brings security to the family. Therefore, the first step in practical love for your partner is caring. Every day, guys, you must listen to me. Every day, small things showing affection. Second one is sharing. Not sharing what we have, but as in communication. Here again, we men fail dismally. Dis hom sê in Afrikaans. Nou dat dit so reën, kon ek niks in die tuin doen nie. Gaan sit toe binne om TV te kyk. Sien toe die weerlig het my TV uitgeslaan en ek begin toe met my vrou gesels. Wat 'n aangename mens. Now, when it is rough going in a marriage, it is also time when there is a breakdown in communication. No open and clear communication. Ons gee mekaar die koue skouer en ons lê ewe skielik almal aan stilstype wat soms dae lank kan duur. James 1 verse 19 says, so then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, to get angry. Verbal stimulation is built on communication. That means talking, listening, understanding. The word communication comes from the Latin word communicare. And this word is also the origin of the English word common. And it's applicable in this context because we need to become common with each other. And this question was raised yesterday. We need to become common with each other. We do this by sharing everything about ourselves with each other. We allow our marriage partner to see who we are by holding nothing back. Be open to share everything. No secrets between husband and wife. No matter, my brothers and sisters, whatever you have done, the one who loves you will never leave you, because even if there are 100 reasons to give up, he will find one reason to hold on. Now, men and women differ radically when it comes to communication. Women are often perceive men's lack of conversation as a bad attitude. And this perception has reflected badly on many relationships. When we men start courting, of course, a girl, we talk and we ask questions and we listen and we explain our dreams and hopes and plans for the future. But once married, most men, with their linear thinking brain, shift their attention from gaining the one that they love to providing for the one that they love. And because he's a practical thinker and wants to be a good husband, his priority is the physical needs of the marriage and family. And for this reason, misguided as it may be, his career and income becomes the focus of his life. He starts paying less and less attention to his wife, and she starts needing it more and more. She remembers the man who courted her, and she's wondering where he went. And to work. And unless explained to them, men are unaware of the emotional needs of their wives. Brothers, it is a natural instinct for a female to talk. Now, I went to the archives, and this photograph is about 10,000 years old. Because we taught them to talk. See? I've decided to teach her to talk. What harm can they do? Now, So my brothers, let her talk. I've got my t-shirt at home that says, if a man says he will do it, he will do it. It's no use reminding him every 6 months. But now, ladies, remember, this excludes nagging. Talking is your gift from God, but nagging is a bad habit, a dripping faucet. One guy said, I haven't spoken to my wife in 18 months because I don't like to interrupt her. Now, women are born that way. The verbal part of a man's brain, of a woman's brain, develops first, whereas the male brain, the visual side, is the first to develop. Bill Clinton, he said, I had some words with my wife. She had some paragraphs with me. Now, opening our hearts and minds in conversation leads to the development of spiritual nakedness between two people who have become one. There's a biblical example of how we need to communicate with each other. All believers are part of the bride of Christ. God says that we are married to Him. And one of the expectations that God places on us is that we should get to know Him intimately. And that should be the relationship goal of every Christian, not just knowing all about Him. And this is also done through prayer. The purpose of prayer is to reveal ourselves to God without reservation or constraint. The promise is that when we reveal ourselves in prayer to God, He would reveal Himself to us. Prayer is just another word for prayer is conversation with God. We learn to love God for who He is, not for what He can do for us. And when we really love someone, we need to make the effort to get to know him or her. I just want to mention a few, or at least one communication killer. Proverbs 18 verse 13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. And here's a very accurate statement. Men don't listen. Many wives will agree with me that when I say that their husbands will read the newspaper, watch TV, nod their heads, grunt now and then, pick up a word here and there, but will have no idea of what his wife has said. When we don't listen carefully to somebody when they speak to us, it gives them the impression that whatever is keeping our attention is more important than what they are. And husbands, brothers, when we communicate, we must be factual, but also with feeling. We are inclined to communicate in headlines, in other words, facts only, without any feeling. But the feeling is revealed in the fine print, and that is what your wife wants to hear. That is when you share detail. The wife asks, how was the service this morning? And he answers, okay. Who was the preacher? Oh, some bald-headed old guy. What did he preach about? Oh, about anything. Just about everything. But ladies, there is one thing you should never do. Never try and start a conversation with your husband when his team is losing, whether it's cricket or rugby or whatever. Just give me that clip, brother. I want to show you something very good here. Have you lost it? Don't watch the game, man. Put it. It said cricket. That was the headline, the title. Can't find it. You got it? Ooh. All right. Maybe if you try and sort it out, and then we can show it later on. Because if... You got it. All right.
Dave Warner has sparked it by being out bowled, but it was a no ball, so therefore not out.
Who's winning the cricket?
No one is winning. No one is winning the cricket. It's a 5-day contest. That's 5 days of cricket. Multiply that by five because you've got five matches sometimes. That's 25 plus days of cricket. Could go for a month, right? And even then, could be a draw, which is great. You could have rain delays, right? You could have runouts, could have injuries.
Forget.
Who's winning?
India.
See, if his team wins well, he will talk to you for hours and you can ask him anything. If his team loses, be tender and understanding and help him overcome. He's disappointed by blaming everything on the ref. All right. Ladies, you have to help us to share the facts and the feelings. And we do not know how to verbalize our feelings, really. And that is why you are called our helpers. And ladies, you must believe this. As men, our brains, the left and the right brain, are divided into different sections or boxes. And men have a section called the nothing box. We think in straight lines, linear. Whereas women, of course, are wired like spaghetti. They can think of 20, 30 different things at the same time while we are concentrated on the one thing. What are you thinking about? A penny for your thoughts. Nothing. I wasn't thinking of anything. Impossible. I'll tell you, it is impossible, but it is possible, believe me. Another aspect of communication or sharing is handling conflict. In every argument, remember, there won't be a winner or a loser. You are partners in everything. So you'll either win together or lose together. Work together to find a solution. Don't say, I'm doing it. Say, how can we solve this problem? And when you choose between saying nothing or saying something nasty or mean to your spouse, say nothing every time. Choose to love each other in these moments when you struggle to like each other. Love is a commitment, not only a feeling. But my brothers, you must be careful. Listen, here is a valuable piece of advice. They say never approach a bull from the front or approach a donkey from behind. And never approach an angry wife from any direction. Say, if a woman listens to you in less than 5 minutes, then she's your mom. If a woman listens to you in 15 minutes, she's your sister. If a woman listens to you in 30 minutes, she is your daughter. And ultimately, if a woman pretends to listen to you all the time, but does not remember a word of what you said, no matter how important, then she is... That's right. She's deaf. Why bring wife into it every time? It's not necessary. Right, my third point is, so it is caring and sharing. And then Colossians 3, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. One of the big secrets of any lasting marriage is forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 says, love never fails. The kind of love that never fails is the love that bears everything, all things, that verdra alles. all the weaknesses of your spouse, all the inadequacies. Love bears with them. Godly love bears them all. Forgiveness should be at the very heart of the Christian walk. And we have no problem with this concept. It's easy to talk about, but it's so very difficult to apply. We harbor justified unforgiveness. That is, I want to get even with my spouse for past hurts caused. Gerechtvaardige onvergiveness. We look for signs of true repentance before we forgive. We often remind the other person of their need to repent again and again and again before we forgive. Listen, brothers, you don't always have to be wrong to say to your spouse or your children, I am sorry. Because my relationship with them is much more important than always being right. Remember, the scripture is not on there, don't worry. Matthew 18:34. If we do not forgive, we are delivered to the tormentors or torturers. And Mark 11:25 says, unforgiveness blocks the promises of God. If you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Someone said these beautiful words. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. 2 Peter 3 verse 18 talks about growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day you live, you'll be presented with opportunities to grow in grace. And you must always be open and receptive to them. I read about a grandmother celebrating her 50th anniversary, and she shared the secret of a long and happy relationship. She says, on my wedding day, I decided to make a list of 10 of my husband's faults, which for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook. I never did get around to listing any. Each time he did something I didn't like, I'd say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Now, a good wife always forgives her husband if she is wrong. No, but nobody, nobody's sharp this morning. So, when someone, or at least, that's not really a wise lady. Because physical intimacy may bring us together, but growing in grace will keep us together. So when someone upsets you, instead of responding with angry words or angry silence, remind yourself that God is giving you another opportunity to grow in grace. And if you don't do well with some of the opportunities he sends, don't worry. He will keep sending more until you get it right. Resentment is one of the most expensive luxuries you can indulge in. A deep-seated grudge eats away at your peace of mind like a deadly cancer, destroying a vital organ. In fact, there are few things as sad as a person who has harbored a long and fruitful, harbored a grudge for years. And one of the secrets to a long and fruitful life, my brothers and sisters, is to forgive everybody, everything, every night before you go to bed. So get serious about the Bible admonition. Grow in grace. That is your responsibility to grow. God's responsibility is to prune you so that you can bear more fruit. But I just want to say one little small thing about the woman. I've just been knocking them in now. Ladies, now your duty. You must honor and respect your husband and submit to him in everything as unto the Lord. I told them yesterday that there's an old saying that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach, which is not true. The way to a man's heart is through his ego. When you honor and respect and praise him and treat him like a king, he has no other choice but to treat you like a queen. His love for you motivates your respect. And your respect motivates his love for you. And I don't know of any woman who will not respond to her husband's tender love and care. If my wife understands my love language, I understand her respect language, and we can communicate. But when the woman, when the husband gets home from work, and she stands with her one hand on the hip and the other one wagging a finger, and her face is turning red, and her eyes are rolling in her eyes in her head, and the words just simply roll off her lips. Instead of when hubby comes home from work, man, you look as if you have just walked out of Vogue magazine. And you do a little jig there, you know, or a little toy, you know, because your hero has come home. You know what that does to a man. Jy sal daarna met hom kan koekies bak. But in some homes, of course, the only one that is glad when a husband comes home is the dog. One other thing that happens within the walls that destroys a family is anger. Proverbs 22:24-25. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Proverbs 15 verse 1. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Guys, and in 99% of the cases of anger outbursts, we men are the guilty party. What makes you angry or triggers angry outbursts? Occasionally, we become angry for a righteous cause. But 99% of the time, we become angry because we are selfish, impatient, because we could not have it our way. And then it is easy to say, submit, woman. I lose my temper, but it's over in a minute, said a student. So is the nuclear bomb, the professor replied. But think of the damage it produces. Anger lives behind closed doors. I seldom lose my temper at the office or in public places, but explode towards my family. You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. Your family lives with the true you. Anger destroys the quality of our personal lives, our marriages, our health. Cutting words that hurt are like arrows from a bow. You cannot retrieve them. The damage cannot be undone. Frequent outbursts of anger destroys a home. Benjamin Franklin said, anger is never without a reason, but seldom a good one. James 1:20, a man's anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Now, I've spoken enough to mom and dad. Now I'm going to speak to the younger ones. What about the young children, young adults, teenagers? You are also part of the family, and you have to help build the wall of protection as well. And parents, don't be so concerned that your children are disobedient. Rather, be concerned by the fact that they watch their parents' behavior with hawk eyes, even from a very young age. They are so sharp, man. Someone quizzed some kids, 6 to 11 years old, on marriage. First question was, how do you decide who to marry? And Kirsten, age 10, says, no person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all the way before. And you get to find out later who are you stuck with? Now, that is spoken like a true Calvinist thing. Second question was, what do most people do on a date? Now, you young ladies. Martine, age 10. On the first date, you just tell each other lies. And that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. How would you make a marriage work? Bruce, 10. Tell your wife she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck. Now, what wisdom then? And then the last one says, what do you experience when mom and dad has an argument? Jessica, she's 8 years, she says, when mom and dad is mad at, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Now, how blessed are a couple if they have godly offspring? However, when a child loses his or her way, we as parents can so easily experience a guilt trip. Remember, parents, there are limits to parenthood. As we ponder the vital roles of parents in the lives of the children, our hearts fill with appreciation for all parents. But what is our response when it comes to the crunch? Now, teenagers, young adults, young ladies, may I remind you again that you are also part of the team that has to rebuild the family walls. I quickly want to share, sort of in closing, a few thoughts, especially just with you, as an inspiration to follow the guidance of godly parents up to the point where you can independently choose life in every situation you face. Regard these as your boundaries. We as parents can give you life, but we cannot live it for you. We can teach you things, but we cannot make you learn. We can allow you freedom, but we cannot account for it. We can give you all the love, but we cannot force it upon you. We can advise you about friends, but we cannot choose them for you. We can advise you about sex, but we cannot keep you pure. Let me just add something to that. Nowadays, people want to find out if they are meant for each other. So they want to find out whether they are sexually compatible before they marry. If you were meant for each other, you will be compatible. If you try and find out whether you are compatible before marriage, you are wasting your time, breaking your heart, and doing a lot of damage to your future marriage by dating or sleeping around. Every time you do that, you give a part of yourself to that person. I asked my brother to get me a roll of sellotape. I want to demonstrate something to you. Bruce, come on, hold this for me fast. See, all of us are like sellotape. We all have a stickiness to one another. Now, if I stick these two, if I stick these two pieces of sellotape together, it would be so difficult to try and separate these two. Virtually impossible without damaging them. I don't think. Now, we all have a stickiness to us, which is love. The glue that allows us to stick. But now if I take this sellotape, stick it here. I stick it here. Then I pull it off. And I stick it there. I pull it off. I stick it there. I pull it off. Eventually, there's virtually no glue left. And with the slightest movement, this thing just falls off. And we are just like this sellotape. We stick to one person, detach ourselves, go to someone else. Every time we leave a bit of the glue. And eventually when we get married, we find out that there's no glue left. The slightest breeze, the slightest little problem or conflict can just blow you off. And young girls, young people, be friends. And in a friendship relationship, get to know the person. And then God will speak to you and say, this is your partner. And young ladies, tell a young man, if you are serious about me, go and speak to my dad and ask his permission. Ask him if you may date me. And listen, don't forget this. Any young Christian woman must be so hidden in Christ that the young man that pursues you with intent must first meet with a Christ in you before he reaches your heart. Dads, there are a lot of foolish and evil scoundrels out there waiting for your daughter. They know nothing about friendship or love. They only know lust. And fathers, you must wake up and protect your daughters. Girls, if you don't submit to your fathers, they cannot protect you. Let me continue. We can tell you about the facts of life, but we cannot build your reputation. We can warn you about drink, but we cannot say no for you. We can warn you about drugs, but we cannot prevent you from using them. We can warn you about sin, but we cannot make you moral. We can pray for you, but we cannot make you walk with God. Then lastly, we can teach you about Jesus, but we cannot make Jesus your Lord. These are most of the choices you are confronted with in this life. Choose life with a capital L every time. These are all the boundaries that most of us, at least my age and whatnot, that we tested when we were your age. Listen to your parents for your own safety. We don't mean to spoil your fun, but we love you and we want to protect you. And just in closing, you know, the male species have borne the brunt of this message. Just something to boost my brother's morale. Why are men so important? You can't spell madam without Adam in it. Neither can you spell woman without man in it. You cannot spell female without male in it. Nor spell female, you know, hang on a second. Let me read here. You can't spell madam without Adam in it. You neither can spell woman without man in it. You cannot spell female without the male in it. Nor spell she without the he. You must definitely, most definitely cannot spell Mrs. without the Mr. And finally, in prayers, you continue to say amen and not a woman. So this is dedicated to all wonderful men. Now, of course, it's customary now for me to do an altar call. Eh? Now, now, if I say all those whose marriages are in a mess come forward, that would be too embarrassing. Eh? And if I said all those who want to get married, maybe there wouldn't be enough space here. Now I'm going to do something special for you, all right? I want you to turn couples to one another. Just make sure that it's your wife that sits next to you, all right? Turn to one another, all the married ones. And brother, take both her hands. Yeah, you have to take them out of the pockets. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah. Look her in the eye. Look her in the eye. And now, I am going to give you, because men have only a few words, I'm going to give you exactly 1 minute, and you tell her how much you love her. Tell her. Well, I'm giving you 1 minute. My darling, I can still feel you. No, I'll take it. Fall in love. And so you're all and actually all the fewer. And took death to your thought, or that God takes it back. Okay, and now I want you to keep on holding hands, and I want you to repeat after me. First, you must call out a name, whether it's Mary or Martha or June. Say, June, Delesti, come here. So I'll say, Delesti, and you mention your wife's name. I want you to repeat aloud after me. All right. Okay. Delesti, you have captured my heart. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't. I don't think she can even hear you sitting right next to you. You have captured my heart. My treasure, my bride. You hold it hostage with one glance of your eyes. With a single jewel of your necklace, your love delights me. My treasure, my bride. Your love is better than wine. Your perfume more fragrant than spices. Your lips are as sweet as nectar. My bride, honey and milk are under your tongue. Now, was it so difficult? Yeah, I mean, Solomon said that to his bride, so why can't you say to yours? Yeah. And now, ladies, hold their hands. Mention his name. Did you mention your husband's name? Okay. I will honor and respect you and love you. And I promise, as of today, that I will submit to you in all things as unto the Lord. Say it. Come on, ladies. Yeah. Lord, thank you very much for these precious families. Thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that they are willing to change and that their lives, their marriages will be a depiction of the way that Jesus Christ loves his bride. Lord, we may have laughed at this last bit, but I pray, Father, that whatever we have said will be taken to heart and put into practice. And Lord, that this church here will be known for a church that is healthy, where all the bricks in this wall had been built by the people themselves, every family, to guard against all the attacks that we experience daily from outside. But Lord, we know the true me, the true her, happens within the walls. Lord, may we be an example for our children. Lord, help us to raise godly children for the next generation. May your name be glorified. Bless this family of ours in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bye-bye, Ranky and Johnny. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, amen. If you missed out on the first 2 days, they told a couple of their testimonies and war stories, which is really amazing, of the last 58 years together, and it's such a privilege. Thank you more than teaching for your example, and thank you for your impartation. Somebody said it was, the weekend was like an impartation, even more so than the teaching itself. So thank you very much for imparting the grace of God of 58 years and more into our lives and into this fellowship. We thank you for that. Amen. Afterwards, catch them for a coffee. Ask them to tell you the story about the chicken. Two stories. There's two stories about chickens. Ask them to tell it there at the coffee table. Otherwise, have an awesome week. Remember, we start the prayer and fast tomorrow. We'll send out some communication. And let's keep on talking as we build the wall, as we stand together, not only for our own home, not only for our own marriage, but for those that are trusting for godly spouses, for everybody's children, albeit natural or even spiritual children. And let's just stand in the gap for one another with the Lord. I'm quickly going to pray for us before we sped off. Lord, thank you for a rich, blessed weekend. Thank you, Lord, for amazing seed. Thank you, Lord, that none of it will be stolen, but it will yield a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold, Lord, in this season and the next. We are thankful for your goodness. Thank you for your word that penetrated. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit that will germinate and feed and grow the new in us. Lord, thank you that you bless us and keep us in this month, that you protect us. And also lastly, thank you that you protect the bells as they go back home. Bless them and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless, guys. Please grab some coffee and enjoy the beautiful, beautiful day. And we see you guys next week. God bless.